Continue in the halachot of the Ben Ish Chai in Parashat Nitzavim. We're up to halachat tet. Let's try to cover some ground. Imchal tevilat mitzvah belel Rosh Hashanah yeshamesh veitbol baboker. If the tevilat mitzvah, that means for a married couple, the night of the tevilah, of the mikveh, of the wife, comes out on the night of Rosh Hashanah, so then they definitely may be together, and the husband should go to the mikveh in the morning in order to purify himself from tum'at keri. V'amitchased litchot ha'tashmi shel tevilat mitzvah, one who thinks that to be machmir or to be mitchased, not to be with his wife the night of Rosh Hashanah because he already went to the mikveh on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't want to become tameh, harezo chasidut shel shtut. The great tzaddik and chassid, the Ben Ish Chai says, that is a chassidut that's totally unnecessary. It is foolish, because it's a mitzvah, and therefore that should not be delayed, at all. And not only that, v'afilu im enat tvila shel mitzvah, even if it's not the night of the mikveh, it's just a regular other night. Im ro'esh nitorerat avato arbe al ishto, if they see that they would like to be together, again, yeshamesh v'itbol baboker, kedesh shelo yavo chas v'shalom lidei tumat keri, then they should do so in order that he should not come to any concern of tumat keri. V'chol enash yada b'nafshe, each one knows himself what to do and what is proper. So you see from the Ben Ish Chai that there's no reason to delay tevila shel mitzvah from the night of Rosh, even by the night of Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, we know that Yom Kippur is different. That's a whole different story, but not when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Halacha Yud, shnei yamim shel Rosh Hashanah kedusha achat hen. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are one long extended kedusha, which means as opposed to a regular Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, when you have, let's say, 2 days of Sukkot or 2 days of Shavuot, whatever it may be. So it's Shtei Kedushot. Each day is by itself, meaning that based on the fact that we have a Safek, why do we keep the 2 days of the Yom Tov? Because we have a Safek. Is the first day Yom Tov and the second day Chol? Is the second day Yom Tov and the first day Chol? So we keep both, as we know, Minhag Avotenu Biyadenu. But that makes it that the Kedusha of each day is separate, whereas Rosh Hashanah, which is actually kept in Eretz Yisrael as well, it's one Yom Ha'arichta, one long day of Kedusha comprised of 2 days. And lehalacha, a nafkamina that comes out from that, is that anything that is muktzeh on the first day of Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah stays muktzeh by the second day. It doesn't become non-muktzeh on the day after. So such as, for example, betzah shenolda bezeh, asura bezeh. It's a long sugya in the beginning of Masechet Betzah, in the first perek. If, let's say, an egg was born on the first day of Yom Tov, so that's a case of muktzeh, and definitely you're not allowed to eat it on that day itself, because that's something that is nolad, that was not present the day before. And since it's muktzeh for the first day, the status of muktzeh continues all throughout the Kedusha Arichta, the Yoma Arichta of Rosh Hashanah, which is different when it comes to the case of the Shnei Yamim Tovim, regular Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, Asur Beze Umutar Basheni, it's Mutar on the next day. Ariel, are you raising your hand?
Yes. Okay. If we're going to say this halacha in regards to Rosh Hashanah being considered to be one long day, then can't we say it in regards to cooking from the first to the second day, that we could also apply that as like a kula, as it's not comparable to the other states of like chagim, like Shavuot or Sukkot?
So being that it is in actuality 2 days, we cannot prepare from one day to the other. Because mideoraita, the first day is mideoraita, the second day is midrabanan. So therefore, since the first day is midoraita, we cannot prepare on the first day, which is the oraita, for the second day, which is midrabanan. Whereas Rabbanan themselves, who told us that we have to keep a second day as an extension of the first day, so then by Hilchot Muktzeh, which is the Rabbanan as well, the dinim of Muktzeh apply. And therefore the status of Muktzeh stays the same from the first day to the second. Whereas cooking from one day to another, that we go by the Deoraita, and only the first day is Deoraita. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that midoraita yom teruah yelachem, it's only the first day which is deoraita, and therefore we cannot cook from a deoraita yom tov onto a derabanan yom tov. But when it comes to muktzeh, that halacha is different. And the same thing applies, v'chen hanitzod o nitlash bazeh asur bezeh. Something that was, let's say, trapped on one day is asur for the next day as well. Meaning it's not just asur on the first day because of muktzeh, right? Because before it was trapped, it was not accessible to you. And now that it was, so that's a nolad, that becomes muktzeh on the first day, it stays the same, it stays asur on the second day. Or nitlash, let's say a fruit that was taken off of the tree on the first day. So that's definitely muktzeh. I don't even mean necessarily if you took it off, chas v'shalom. That for sure is asur to do. But let's say it came off the tree on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So that for the first day, it's for sure muktzeh, right? Because beforehand it was hanging on the tree and now it came off the tree. It stays muktzeh all throughout both days. Ve'im Rosh Hashanah chal yom chamishi ve'shishi. Now there can be a mitziu, there can be a scenario where it stays muktzeh for 3 days. And that is, let's say Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday, Friday, and that leads into Shabbat. Asur gam b'Shabbat she'achareihem. So whatever was muktzeh for the first 2 days, which is Rosh Hashanah, stays with the status of muktzeh going on into Shabbat, because of the reason that in Ben Hashmashot, between Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat, it was muktzeh, because misafek, it's still Rosh Hashanah. And we have a rule, migod itkatzai v'ben Hashmashot itkatzai lekule yoma. Once something has the status of muktzeh during Ben Hashmashot, it stays as muktzeh throughout the entire upcoming day. And that's why in this case, you'll have it, it is asur, it is begeder muktzeh for 3 days in a row. V'safek nolad be'erev Rosh Hashanah, safek b'yom Rosh Hashanah, hare ze asur. The same thing applies to safek, that if you have a safek, if it was born, if the egg, let's say for example, was born on erev Rosh Hashanah, or after Rosh Hashanah, hare ze asur, it is asur. Even though normally we are mekel when it comes to safek derabanan, but in this case, it's davar sheyesh lo matirim, it's something that you can wait with. Why would you have to eat it bedavka on the day of Rosh Hashanah when it's a problem maybe of muktzeh? You could wait with it till after Rosh Hashanah. That's called davar sheyesh lo matirim. We are more machmir, we are more stringent when it comes to davar sheyesh lo matirim, something that has an option of heter. Halacha Yud Aleph, en yeshenim biyom Rosh Hashanah. The Ben Ish Chai puts it bluntly. He says, we don't sleep on the day of Rosh Hashanah. To say it politely, we try. We try not to sleep on the day of Rosh Hashanah. It's not a good sign. The Yerushalmi in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says, man de damich pereshata damich mazaleh. Someone who sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, chas v'shalom, his mazal goes to sleep throughout the year too. That's not a good thing. So therefore, we try not to sleep, at least intentionally, on the day of Rosh Hashanah. We're not talking about the night. We're talking about the day. And that's why he says, v'tzarich li'zaher she'yit'orer mishenato balayla. Therefore, a person should try to be careful to wake up early before the dawn, before daylight. He should wake up so that he shouldn't be sleeping even a second into the day of Rosh Hashanah. ואם יש לו כאב הראש או שער מחוש, let's say a person has a headache on Rosh Hashanah, or some other kind of pain, שמוכרח לישון ביום, he has to take a rest, he can't stay awake, יתאפק וישן אחר חצות היום. Try and, you know, strengthen yourself to hold yourself, at least not to sleep before midday, before chatzot. Right now, chatzot is around, let's say, 12:40, 12:45. So at least till 12:45, not to sleep. You come home, you feel you need to rest. Okay, that's a little bit better. That's fine. So you see how serious the Ben Ish Chai is in regards to when it comes to sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. Ariel?
So with this being the case, so let's say someone was to wake up 45 minutes before Alot HaShachar, just for a quick chazara, would you be able to read all of the stuff before Baruch Shem, like all of Akedah and Korbanot until then before Alot?
Yes.
And there would be like no issue of possibly reading like or anything beforehand or out of order?
No, that's like, fine.
Parakim of Tehillim that we read before Baruch Shema, wouldn't it be an issue either?
If you have no other thing to do, no other thing to read, then yeah, you could read the Tehillim as well.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Definitely. That's mashma from a different place in the Ben Ish Chai. The only thing you have to be careful is not to do Krat Shema beforehand. Krat Shema has its time, obviously. But all the things you mentioned is okay, is fine. Or I would suggest a better thing, to go through the Mishnayot of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. That would be a great thing. If you have nothing to do 3 o'clock in the morning on Rosh Hashanah, then do Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Go through the Mishnayot. That's better. But I understand your question. You're saying to catch up, maybe you have a slower pace of the tefillah and you'd like to get it in. Yes, that's a good idea.
Basically.
Yeah, I understood. Okay, very good. Halacha Yud Bet, Seder HaTashlich Osim Afilu Imchal Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbat. This is Nogea to us this year. The Ben Ish Chai immediately tells us that don't make any mistake about it. You're allowed to do Tashlich even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. וכן נמצא כתוב בכתיבת יד הרב מוהרי אנטבי בשם רבנו הרשש. So is brought down in the name of רבי שלום שרעבי, the רשש, זכותו תגן עלינו. ואם נאנס ולא עשה תשליך ביום ראשון, if you weren't able to do תשליך on the first day, יעשינו ביום השני אחר מוסף. Make sure to do it on the second day, not before מוסף. כן מצאתי כתוב בספר תורה לשמה, כתיבת יד, as is brought down in the ספר תורה לשמה. I'd like to read to you from הליכות עולם of רב עובדיה, on page רש כפתת. He writes that after Tfilat Mincha, the first day, our minhag is to go to a river or to an ocean or to a bow or to a pit that has water, a well, and to say the Seder of Tashlich. The Seder of Tashlich, the core part of Tashlich is saying the Pasuk of Miel Kamocha 3 times, V'Tashlich B'Mtzulot Yam Kol Chatotam. Those who learned Sefer Tomer Dvorah have a special appreciation to that Pasuk of Miel Kamocha that has all the 13 Midot. There's also a piece from the Zohar HaKadosh that describes the 13 points of the beard of a human being that correspond, each one corresponds to one of the 13 Midot. So that is read also. And then there is a long 2 or 3 page tefillah that was instituted by Rabbeinu Hachida, Alav Shalom, to say. So it's all in the Machzorim, in the back of the Machzor usually. You'll find the Seder of Tashlich. And one of the reasons why we do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, Rav Ovadia brings down a Midrash. The Midrash says that when Avraham Avinu went with Yitzchak to Har HaMoriah to do Akedat Yitzchak, which by tradition we know was actually done, it took place on the day of Rosh Hashanah. So, Kidemam HaSatan Baderech. The Midrash says that the Satan always tries to dissuade us from doing something that is good. And so he was there to block the way from before Avraham and Yitzchak, and he started to, you know, put all kinds of obstacles in their way to try to get them not to do the mitzvah. And when that didn't work, and Avraham and Yitzchak were not, you know, taking no for an answer, they were not listening to the Satan, so he had his own tricks. And he had to take plan B. What was plan B? He became a river. The Satan made himself into a big river so that to be in the way between Avraham, Yitzchak, and the place of the Akedah. But they didn't care. They went into the river until the water came to their necks. And then Avraham Avinu lifted his eyes to the Borei Barach, and he said, Hoshienu Elokenu ki ba'u mayim ad nafesh, save us Hashem. Because the water, you know, we're right up until the end here, and we would like to do your mitzvah. Umiyad ga'ara kadosh baruch hu basatan vehalachlo. Kadosh baruch hu gave a shout against the Satan, and he was scared off. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that all this took place on the day of Rosh Hashanah, and that's why we go to a source of water, to a place where there is natural water, lehazkir zechut Avraham veYitzchak, so that to accompany the tefillah of Tashlich together with the zechut of the day, which is the Akedat Yitzchak, which is all over our tefillot on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, so we just saw the Ben Ish Chai says, you do it on Shabbat anyway. Rav Ovadia mitigates that by saying, that's true, we do it on Shabbat, but it really depends if there is a Eruv. If you live in a place where there is a Eruv that you can carry, so then that's fine. However, if it's in a place where there's no Eruv, now you could still do Tashlich if you know it by heart. But people who don't know it by heart would like to carry a Machzor with them, and that's almost everyone who needs to carry a Machzor with them in order to say Tashlich, unless you're just planning on saying the Pasuk three times. You're Yotze if you do that. You know, let's say a person is caught in a place where he doesn't have a sidur, so at least Miel Kamocha should be a Jew should know by heart, and to say that three times, that should be fine. But normally people might come and carry machzorim, and you don't want that to happen on Shabbat. If I may add, some people are also machmir not to carry in a place, even like Sfaradim. Many Sfaradim are machmir not to rely on the Eruv, and therefore it might be a better option to do it on the second day. And so some people are noheg like that when it happens on Shabbat, you push it off to the second day, to Sunday, and you do it between Mincha and Arvit, or at least after Musaf, as we saw in the Ben Ish Chai. Halacha Yud Gimel. Berosh Hashanah, en omrim echol uslach la'avonotenu. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't, we skip the lines that ask for mechila and slicha, for forgiveness for our sins. Which means, when we say Avinu Malkenu. Now, there is a machloket rishonim. Rav Ovadia has a whole tshuva on this in Yechaveh Da'at. Do we say Avinu Malkenu when Rosh Hashanah is chal on Shabbat? On Rosh Hashanah, we say Avinu Malkenu, obviously. And in Avinu Malkenu of Rosh Hashanah, we skip the first line of the Mechol Uslach La'avonotenu, or Chatanu Lefanecha, Rachem Alenu, the first one, which is like Vidui. The idea is that we don't do Vidui on Rosh Hashanah. And in regards to Shabbat, like this year, so when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, some have the minhag not to say Avinu Malkenu. I know that is the minhag of the Ashkenazim. The Moroccan minhag as well is not to say Avinu Malkenu on Shabbat. However, many Sfaradim do have the minhag to say Avinu Malkenu even on Shabbat. That's the minhag of most Edot HaMizrach. You just skip the lines of Chatanu Lefanecha and Mechol Uslach La'avonotenu. However, Rav Ovadia says, if you have a clear minhag not to say Avinu Malkenu, you should stick to your minhag and not say it when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat. Okay? So let's see the Halacha Yud Gimel again in the Ben Ish Chai. Rosh Hashanah, En omrim mechol uslach la'avonutenu. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't say mechol uslach, forgive us Hashem for our sins. The whole day of Rosh Hashanah, we don't ask for that. That's not the time. Utzrichim li'zehel ba'bakasha she'omrim kodem te'ilim ve'achar te'ilim ledaleg leshonot elu. Also, since being that it is a nice minhag on Rosh Hashanah to read Tehillim, many Jews are noheg to try to finish Sefer Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah, to finish it even two times, once the first day and once the second day. And so you have 300 Pirkei Tehillim that you said, and 300 is V'gematria Kaper. Kaper is atone, kapara. So that's a well-known minhag. Aviel. Tefillah before and after, you know, as printed in the Sifrei Tehillim, there is a line there that asks for Mechilat Avonot, and we should skip it, says the Ben Ishchai. Ve'af al gav dekatav Zohar HaKadosh asur lefarasha chet'u behayoma. Now, the Ben Ishchai brings up a point here, the topic of saying vidui during the blowing of the shofar, during the tkiot shofar. This is also another well-known machloket among Sfaradim between the halachists and the kabbalists. Those who follow the Kabbalah, those who follow strictly the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh and the Rashash. So there is a whole seder of vidui to be said in between the sets of the blowings of the shofar, between Tashrat and Tashat, between Tashat and Tarat, and so on. And it's printed in the Sephardic Sidurim. The machloket is if you can say it, if you can actually verbalize, articulate the words of the vidui during the tkiat shofar. The Ben Ish Chai, being that his teachings are always based on, are rooted in the teachings of Kabbalah, he takes for granted that you're saying vidui in the middle of tkiat shofar. And so therefore, here in the middle of this halakha, he says that even though the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that we're not supposed to specify our sins on the day of Rosh Hashanah, haynu dafka bekol ram, that's only if you say it out loud, like we do on Yom Kippur, to do vidui out loud. Aval belachash be'ete kiat shofar demi yoshev, but to whisper it to oneself, each one privately within himself, to whisper it to himself, you're allowed to do the vidui at the time of tkiat shofar demi yoshev. Kesheshohe hatokea, when the tokea gives some time between tashrat and tashat and tashat and tarat. So the shuls where they have the minhag to do vidui in between the sets of the tkiot, the Baal Tokea himself gives a few, like a minute between tashat, the three tashats, and before he begins the tashat, he's silent, he gives a time for everyone to do their vidui, and the same thing between tashat and tarat. Yitvade belacha shal chata'a bifratut, ubesidu rabbenu harashash, mesudar nusach vidui leitvadot ben hasdarim hanizkarim. In the Sidur of Rabbeinu HaRashash, you have a whole nusach of vidui that is organized for people to do vidui. Rav Ovadia Yosef famously, in many of his works, starting with Yabia Omer, Yichaveh Da'at, here in Halichot Olam, and Chazon Ovadia as well, makes it very clear that he's in disagreement with the minhag of saying vidui during the tkiot. He's very vehement about it. He says, "Al pi alacha, one should not do the vidui between the tkiot. If you'd like to say the vidui," he says, "then you should be meharher. You only say it in your mind, but you don't articulate it." And the reason, simply for this, is based on the fact that it will be a hefsek between the bracha of the mitzvah and the mitzvah of the blowing. How is it a hefsek? I mean, after all, I'm not doing the vidui between the bracha and the initial tkiot of tashrat. So why is it a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah? Because, as you know, as the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah tells us, that really, on midoraita, on Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to hear a teruah. A teruah with a tkiah before and a tkiah after, three times each. It says three times Tru'ah in the Torah. And It says before Behavarta Shofar, Ta'aviru Shofar. So that's how we learned Tkia before and Tkia after. And being that it says three times, so we have to, on Midoraita, we have to hear three sets of Tarat, comes out nine sounds. Tkia, Tua, Tkia, Tkia, Tua, Tkia, Tkia, Tua, Tkia, that's the Oraita. However, the Gemara tells us that there came a time where this, the, what the meaning of a Tua is, began to be a subject of doubt. What is the doubt? A three-way doubt. When the Torah says Tru'ah, does it mean what we call the Tru'ah? You know, the quick, broken one? Is that the Tru'ah? Or is it Ganuchei Ganach? Which means, is it what we call the Shvarim? The three broken sounds, two, 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 is that the Tru'ah? So is it Ganuchei Ganach, the Shvarim? Is it Yalule Yalil, the Tru'ah? Or is it both of them together, Shvarim Tru'ah? Shvarim leading into Tru'ah, is that what the Torah means by Tru'ah? So there are three tzadim in this safek. In order to be Yotze Lechol HaDeot, we do three times Tashrat. Maybe the Tru'ah is Shvarim Tru'ah. We do three times Tashat. Maybe Tru'ah is Shvarim. We do three times Tru'ah. Maybe Tru'ah is Tru'ah. And that's how you get the 30 kolot when we're sitting down. So now, being that it is a safek, according to the pshat of the Gemara, so when the Baal Tokeh says, the bracha baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav, ve'tzivanu lishmoa kol shofar, and then he begins, tashrat, tashrat, tashrat. All right, very nice. Then he goes on to tashat, tashat, tashat. Where's the bracha for the tashat? The bracha that you said. We're relying on that bracha. So now, if I'm going to speak in between tashrat and tashat, if I'm going to say vidui there, it's like I spoke between the bracha and tashat. And maybe midoraita, really the meaning of Tru'ah is tashat. So it comes out that the bracha was interrupted with your talking between the bracha and the tashat, which is really the mitzvah. Or maybe the mitzvah is tarat. So therefore, says Rav Ovadia, you should not say vidui between the sets because of a hefsek. If you want, be meharher. Say it in your mind, in your heart. That's enough. The Shita of the Mekubalim is like the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that it's not because of a safek. Here is where you have a discrepancy between the Talmud and the Zohar. It's not so pashut. There's a lot written on this to explain, is there a machloket, is there not a machloket? It simply looks like there is a machloket between the Talmud and the Zohar. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, and the Ari HaKadosh goes by it, and all the Mekubalim follow suit with that, and that is that all these sounds, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, are all needed. It's kind of like the Machloket by Tfilin of Rashi in Rabbeinu Tam, that according to the Halakha, it's a Safek. Is it Rashi? Am I Yotze with Rashi? Am I Yotze with Rabbeinu Tam? And that's why Maran HaShulchan Aruch, for example, you say, make a Tanai. So if I'm Yotze with Rashi, you know, let's say you put on both together. So if the halacha is like Rashi, so then Rashi is the tefillin and the others is like regular straps. If the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam is the mitzvah and the others like regular straps. Which means, al niba de halacha, there's a safek if you should, if Rashi is correct or if Rabbeinu Tam is correct. And that's why according to the halacha, you can wear each one separately. And you don't wear them both, necessarily. Whereas according to the Mekubalim, as the Ben Ishchai brings down, Shnehem, both of them are necessary for the mitzvah. It's not mitzat safek, both of them are necessary. And that's why the staunch Mekubalim, they put on both Tefillin Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, you know, together, one side by side. So that's a similar machloket that we have here. And therefore, based on that shita, that tashrat, tashat, tarat are all needed. Oh, so then if I do a vidui between tashrat and tarat, that's not a problem of ifsek between the mitzvah and the bracha, because I already juxtaposed the bracha to the mitzvah. The beginning of the entire mitzvah was with Tashrat, and everything else is just a continuation of the mitzvah. So therefore, it's like, for example, by Bedikat Chametz, that, you know, you're not allowed to talk between the bracha and the initial beginning of the bedikah. But if, let's say, you already began the bedikah right after the bracha, and then between room and the second room, you said, you spoke, so it's not considered a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah, because you began the mitzvah already. Everything is just a continuation. So you have, the bracha has on what to catch. Whereas, based on what Rav Ovadia Yosef says, that the halacha says that each one is mitzat safek, so you don't know when you're starting the mitzvah, really. Is it tashrat? Is it tashat? Is it tarat? So you always have that concern of hefsek, and therefore you should not do the vidui. At least you shouldn't articulate it, you should only say it belev. Many are noheg not to do the vidui altogether, but the Ben Ish Chai obviously is from those who hold of this minhag of saying vidui. Ariel?
I'm fulfilling mitzvah the right level, except this year it's the Rabbanan, because the second day. So should, like, you think of kapara, or think of like that is forgiveness, or is there more to it than just that?
There is, as you may know, I mean, famously, Rabbeinu Seadia Gaon tells us 10 reasons for Tkiat Shofar on the day of Rosh Hashanah. It's good to try to have as many thoughts in mind when we hear the Tkiot. Each one should prepare himself at least to do it in an organized way. It's a good thing to jot down some ideas on a piece of paper beforehand, so that when you're hearing the Shofar, maybe you take a look at it and you are reminded by what you're supposed to think. The first idea, the first kavanah that a person is supposed to have by shofar is, I am listening to the shofar in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hashem, whether on the first day, on a regular year, the mitzvah of Deoraita, or this year, the second day, it's the Rabbanan. So I am having in mind to be mikayem a mitzvah mid Rabbanan. That's the first and foremost kavanah to have. The second, if you now, you know, there's all kinds of thoughts that a person can have during the shofar. One basic one is the element of teshuvah. Hashem, please forgive me. And I plan on Be'ezrat Hashem becoming better and improving. That's based on the words of the Rambam in Ilchot Teshuvah, that the shofar has in it the message of Uru Yesheni Mishenatchem. The person has to wake up. The shofar is a wake-up call. That's the pshat reason for a shofar, according to the Rambam, who says that's the remez, v'remez yeshbo. That's the hint, that's the message of the shofar, to remember Hashem. Another thought that a person can have during the shofar is, thank you, Hashem. Like it says in Le David, Hashem Uri V'ish'i, Ezbecha zivche teruah, ashira va'azam meral Hashem. The blowing of the shofar is in way of thanks to Hashem. It's a song to Hashem. Thank you for the year that you gave me. You helped me succeed. You gave me health. I made it through. I survived this year. I, you know, and try to remember all the good things that Hashem has done for you in the past year. Nobody should have a hard time thinking of at least 20 things that he could thank for, at least. That's really an understatement during the time of shofar. So that's a very good thought to accompany the listening of the shofar. Another good kavanah is try to picture tchiyat hametim. Try to picture the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to resurrect the dead. There's going to be tekah b'shofar gadol. There's going to be a big sound of the shofar. This includes also the kavanah of Biyat HaMashiach. When Mashiach comes, this comes from Rav Seadia Gaon. This is definitely a valid kavanah to have during tekiat shofar. Just basically, you know, a few of these thoughts. You know, Chazdeh Hashem, Hashgachat Hashem, Malchut Hashem, to remember Hashem Melech, to remember that Hashem is King. Utruat Melech Bo, we blow the shofar to coronate Hashem as King in the world. So that's a very basic and very important thought to have, that Hashem Melech. Another basic thought to have when you hear the shofar, there is a Boreh in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Hayom harat olam. Hayom harat olam. Today is the birthday of the world. Hashem created the world. Yesh me'ayin. That's another kavanah to have during the shofar. And overall, in general, a tefillah. The shofar is a tefillah to the Borei Yitbarach. There are all forms of tefillah that we give Hashem. We do tefillah with our mouth. We pray. We articulate tefillah. We think tefillah. Yiyu leratzon imrefi vehegyon libi lefanecha. The thoughts of our heart are also a tefillah. Sometimes we do an act of tefillah, which, for example, on Hoshana Rabbah, we take the aravot and we beat the ground. Chavet, chavet, vela barich, that's a form of tefillah, to be morid the shefa, to bring down the shefa of parnasat to the world. So that's another form of tefillah. And the blowing of the shofar is a tefillah to Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for the past year. And I pray to you, Hashem, that the upcoming year should be also filled with your bracha, filled with your shefa of chasadim and rachamim. So, I mean, if we can get all those ideas together when we hear the shofar, and of course, I don't mean to think of all of them in one shot, because then you're not thinking of anything. It's impossible to think of 10 things at the same time. But to have it organized, write it down on a piece of paper, write 6 or 7 ideas that you want to think about, split it. You know, we have different sets of blowing of the shofar. There is the 30 that we hear while we sit. There is the 30 that we hear during the tefillah shel lachash, there is the other 30 that we hear during the chazara, and then we have another 10 in kaddish titkabal. So you have time to split, to have different variant kavanot, various kavanot that can lend to our shlemut, to our achieving a level of shlemut during the chag, the holy, holy chag of Rosh Hashanah. So that's very important. I hope some of you were taking some notes to remember that. Those are very important, good ideas. Don't take it from me. I heard these ideas from great people, especially from Rav Avigdor Miller, Alav Shalom, who would explain these things over the years.
I took some notes. I'll upload it to a Word document and I'll send it to the group chat.
Well, tiskela mitzvot. Shetie bari. Thank you. Thank you. If you can make sense out of all the things, the mumble jumble I just gave you, then that says a lot about you. Thank you. Aviel, yes.
Is there anything that the Baal Tokeh has to have in mind specifically?
The first thing that the Baal Tokeh has to have in mind is I am Motzi Yedechova, everyone. That's paramount. And by the way, you have to have in mind, the listener also has to have in mind, to be Yotze from the Tokeh. And that's a good minhag to make that announcement beforehand, that I have in mind to be Motzi, and everyone else has in mind to be Yotze. And, you know, like it says, Birshut Shamayim, right? So Shamayim, Shomea, Mashmia, are Yotze Yedechova. So that's one basic kavanah that the Tokeh has to have. It's a big responsibility. And overall, all those kavanot that we just spoke about, he should have in mind. In addition, he should have a big extra dosage of Ahavat Yisrael. When he's blowing the shofar, he should be mitpalel for Am Yisrael. He's a shaliach. It's all put there in the tefillah of the Baal Tokeh beforehand, in the Machzor, the long tefillah that the Baal Tokeh says. There are a lot of thoughts that he has to have in mind that are incorporated into that tefillah. So that's, to have in mind the responsibility of praying for the tzibur, and that these tkiot should be leratzon ulereach nichoach for Hashem. And this leads into Alacha Yudaled of the Ben Ishchai, Yomar beferush kodem sheitka. The Tokeh should say openly, like we just mentioned, Hareni mechaven bitkiot elu shel miyoshev v'shel ha'amida bechulam. I hereby have in mind in the tkiot of miyoshev, and the, not tkiot miyushav. People read miyushav. It's miyoshev, from sitting, and meomed, from standing, v'shel ha'amida bechulam lehotzi kol ha'shomea yedechovato. To have in mind to be motzi yedechova those who hear, the afal pishu muchan nekach mistama, even though normally, even without articulating it, you mistama have that in mind to be motzi everyone, tov lefaresh befiv. it's good to say it and to verbalize that. That's very important. It solidifies that kavana. Very important to remember. People should not talk, just chat, you know, between the 30 sounds of Tkiyot Demiyoshev and the Tkiyot of Musaf. You know, sometimes people stand around, you know, while the Sefer Torah is going back, Mizmor LeDavid, and, you know, and after that, by the Kaddish, so someone turns to his friend and he says, so what do you say? How were those Tkiyot? Ah, we should have gotten someone else. Or who knows what, you know, what goes on, what people are talking about. First of all, that's Lashon Hara. It's totally unnecessary. I didn't hear you, Yosef. Repeat that. What?
I said, is the long one going to be 45 seconds or 55 seconds?
I don't know. Hashem should help. Hashem should help that it should just, you know, it should come out normal. That's all. I don't know how long.
That's what they are betting on, what it's going to be. That's what
yeah, that's what, right. Is it going to, oh, that's what you were saying. I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Yeah, that is it, like, how long is he going to do it? It's childish, you know, all this talk, this type of talk is really childish. And definitely it should not be done between the Tkiyot Miyoshev and Tkiyot Meomid, because it's all one extended mitzvah. You'd like as much as possible that the bracha that was said initially should be chal on all the Tkiyot of the day. והפסוקים ופיוט שנוהגים הציבור לאומרם קודם תפילת מוסף אחר חזרת ספר תורה להיכל לא יאמרים התוקע. In fact, the Ben Ishchai says that the tokeya himself should be careful not to, you know, to say the extra psukim before musaf, or even the song, the piyut that we say, like chontachon or something else. He says here that the chazan should, the bal tokeya, I mean, the bal tokeya should not. Not everybody is noheg like that. We're noheg to be, so, you know, if let's say the chazan is the tokea, what, so he's not going to say chontachon. So then we rely on the fact that it's all, you know, part of the tefillah, and therefore it's not considered a hefsek. But stam talking, that for sure, is not allowed. Let's try to quickly do two more halachot, if you don't mind. Yechaseh ha-shofar ad gemara brachot. One should cover, the Baal Tokeah should cover the shofar until the end of the two brachot that he says, Nishmo Kol Shofar and Shechiyanu. V'tzarich shiyochazenu biyado b'et ha-bracha mechuze. The Tokeah should hold on to the shofar while he says the bracha, while still covered. The shofar should still be covered until he finishes the bracha, then he uncovers the shofar. Rav Ovadia in Sefer Halichot Olam brings a source from the Midrash for this minhag that the shofar should be covered because Avraham Avinu covered Yitzchak Avinu while he was building the Mizbeach. He covered Yitzchak so that the Satan should not throw some stone or anything like that on Yitzchak and cause a mum and put a blemish in him and make him pasul for the korban. So being that the tkiah b'shofar is to remind us, that Hashem should remember for us the akedat Yitzchak, as it says in Rosh Hashanah Tetzayin, so that also is part of the way to commemorate by covering the shofar, just like Yitzchak Avinu was covered by Avraham Avinu. וקודם הברכה יקב בידו על הבימה, כדי שירגישו כל הציבור שהוא מוכן לברך. Before the bracha, the Baal Tokeah should give a clap on the bima, so that everybody, you know, gets ready. יתנו דעתם על הברכה, so that they pay attention to the bracha, ויאמרו ברשות מוריי ורבותיי, ויאמר ברשות מוריי ורבותיי, ויברך בקול רם. You should have in mind to be motzi everyone with the bracha that he is saying. If someone is sitting far away in shul and he doesn't have such good hearing to begin with, so he's not going to really hear the brachot so well. So if he knows he's not going to hear the bracha from the tokea, he should say the bracha on his own. And then he should hear the tkiot. The tkiot, you sure hope that the tokea can reach everyone, the sound can reach everyone in the shul. Some have the minhag that everybody is standing at the time of the bracha on the shofar. There are places that are not noheg to stand for the bracha. Upo irenu lo nahagu la'amod. The minhag that the Ben Ishchai says in his city was not to stand by the bracha. You know, the reason that why that could be better is that not to cause too much of a commotion between the bracha and the mitzvah. If everybody is standing by the bracha and then they all have to sit for the tkiyot demiyoshev, so that whole commotion sort of can be like a little bit of a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah. So it's better everybody is sitting, except the Baal Tokeh, of course, who is standing. Everybody is sitting even during the time of the bracha and the time of the blowing of the shofar. Halachat Tetzayin, one last thing, Yochaz HaShofar B'Yad Yamin, he should hold the shofar with his right hand, U'ma'amido Gamken B'Tzad Yamin, and he should also hold it on his right side of his mouth, Im Efshalo, if he can. V'Gam Tkiah Rishona Yomar Lo HaMakri, if in the place where they have the minhag, where there's like a gabai or someone who is the makri, who says, Tkiah Shvarim, he calls out the names, according to the Ben Ishchai, he should do so even for the first sound. Rav Ovadia argues with that. Rav Ovadia says that, first of all, not everybody has the minhag to have a makri altogether. Many Sfaradim don't. It's more prevalent by the Ashkenazim to have a makri. But even if you do have, you should not be makri the first one. Because again, that is a hefsek between the bracha and the tkiot. Rav Ovadia Halichot Olam is ma'arich to explain why that is, but we see clearly Ben Ishchai does not hold of that. He says you could be. V'yizaher shelo yeh shofar pagum bimkom anachat peh afilu pegima koldu. Make sure the shofar doesn't have any, you know, defect in the place where you're placing your mouth on it at all. V'itakno kodem Rosh Hashanah. Try to fix it if it does have any kind of problem, fix it before Rosh Hashanah. The shofar should be nice and perfect so that all our tefillot, all our tekiot should reach the high heavens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that He should bring and shower upon us all the brachot, all the shefa, tzlachot, parnasat tova, refu'a shlema, besorot tovot, arichut yamim v'shanim, shana tova umvorechet, lechayim arukim umtukanim. Amen.